All right, Colossians chapter 3. You know, Bible Christianity is different than all the other religions of the world. In religion, here's what you got. Now hear me, because some of you are in bondage to this very thing. In religion, what you've got is the followers, and that, by the way, it doesn't matter what religion it is. It doesn't matter if it's a religion that falls under the Christendom banner. It doesn't matter if it's the religion of Islam, if it's a religion of Hinduism. It doesn't matter. In religion, here's what you got. You've got followers who are trying desperately to appease a wrathful God. And they're trying to appease Him through religious acts and religious rituals and religious observances and religious works. And they're trying like everything to try to earn God's favor and to try to earn God's forgiveness for their sins. You know, I've witnessed to a ton of people in my life about the Lord. Whenever I witness to people about the Lord and I ask them this question, if you die today, are you sure you go to heaven? A very common answer that I get is this: I hope so. You ever hear that? Some of you may be thinking that. You know, and you know, that. I want you to know, religion produces that kind of an answer. Okay? You talk to somebody who's not entrenched in a religion, and you say, if you die today, you're sure you're going to go to heaven? They'll just go, no, I don't have a clue. I don't know. But mark it down. Whenever somebody says, I hope so, they're part of a religious system. Because here's how it works. You see, the followers in that religious system, they never know when they've quite done enough. So therefore, they keep working and they keep working and they keep doing these things that the religion tells them to do, hoping that they've done enough to somehow gain forgiveness of their sins and somehow, hopefully, God will let them into heaven. That's how religions keep people in bondage. That's how religions keep people doing the things they want them to do. What they do is they put these people on a religious treadmill, see? And they've got to keep the religious system going. They've got to keep the religious system running. So they put these people on this religious treadmill with this idea that if you have any hope of heaven, if you want to have any hope of getting there, you've got to do all these different requirements that our religion tells you to do. Now, in the gospel of Christ as revealed through the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles, it's totally different than that. Here's what it is. In the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, it is not man doing something for God, but it's God reaching out to man. You see, here's what the deal is. The believing sinner, okay, the moment that you recognize your sinfulness, that you need a Savior, and somebody shares with you from that book and shows you in that book that Jesus Christ paid for all your sins on the cross. He made a complete final payment for sin on the cross. He rose from the dead. His work is the only work that can save from sin. His work is the only work that can bring cleansing and divine forgiveness into your life. And when someone shares that with you and you by faith believe it, you by faith trust it, you by faith say, yep, I believe what the Bible says, and I'm choosing to put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ to save me as a sinner. The moment that you do that, the sinner is saved and you are forgiven instantaneously based on the finished and the completed work of Jesus Christ. God has not placed a performance system on our necks to try and gain His grace and to try to gain His favor. God says to the believing sinner, I'm going to give you my forgiveness. I'm going to give you total forgiveness. I'm going to give you all of my grace. God says, I'm going to give you all my mercy. I'm going to give you all my favor. In fact, God says, I'm going to give you all spiritual blessings up front the moment that you, by faith, trust my Son. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to try to earn it. You don't have to stay on the treadmill of religious performance to get it. God says, the moment you trust my Son, I'm going to give you every single blessing that's in my Son, I'm going to give it all to you up front, and I'm going to make you complete in Him the moment you trust Him. That's biblical Christianity. That's grace. That's what that is. God says, I'm going to give it all to you up front. You know what Paul's response says? You know what Paul says our response should be to that kind of grace? That kind of grace? That God would give us all the blessings, spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He give us all that up front? Forgiveness up front? God doesn't dangle it like religion does in front of us and say, boy, if you keep doing this and this and this, then I might let you come to heaven. I might let you be with me. I might forgive you. I might, you know, if you... God doesn't do that. God says, I'm going to give you all the blessings up front. The moment you by faith trust my Son, I'm going to give you all the blessings I have up front. That very moment. Paul says our response to that kind of grace ought to be right here in Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Here it is. Let's look at it. Here's the response. Here's how you ought to respond if you're saved today. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your heart. Set your affection, your heart, on things where? Above, not on things on the what? Earth. You know, our total affection and our heart should be set upon Jesus Christ because of all that God's done for us in Christ. Amen, church? Amen. Now listen, there's a hymn that we do around here every so often, and I love it. And it says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face. And you know what happens? The things of earth grow strangely what? Dim. In the light of His glory and grace. You see, His grace ought to produce a response in us to where the things of this earth grow dim. That's what Colossians 3 is teaching. Wouldn't surprise me if that hymn writer didn't get it from right here. As we focus on Christ, the things of this earth grow dim. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's the way it's supposed to happen. Our heart and our affection should be totally set upon Jesus Christ. Why? Number one, let me give you three thoughts from this text. Number one, Christ has delivered us from our past identity. Tommy, could you bring me down a little bit up here in the A's? Bring me back a little. He's delivered us from our past identity. Now, everybody look at Colossians 3:3. I want you to see it. This is one of my favorite verses in the New Testament. It's an amazing verse. Okay, look at Colossians 3:3. Okay, everybody say the first four words up to the comma. You ready? For ye are dead. Well, how about that? Say it again. For ye are dead. He's writing to Christians, believers in this church. He says, oh yeah, you're dead. Well, wait a minute. I got a pulse. How about you? I hope you have a pulse. All right. You're dead. Well, yeah, you know, as we cross-reference Scripture to Scripture, you know, we know exactly what that means. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified. Now, when you're crucified, you're dead. He said, I am crucified, but how? With Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Here's the deal. God has placed us in Christ the moment that we trusted Him. And now His history is our history. He died, we died in Him. Romans 6 teaches, we are dead and buried with Him. Our experience is bound up in His. So Christ died, I'm in Him. So that means I died in Him. My history is His history, is my history now. I am crucified with Christ. I am dead and I am buried with Him. Now that's a very important issue. You say, why? Because look in your handout. It says all of us were at one time part of Satan's kingdom of darkness. Now, when you get done writing, I want you to look this way and I want to explain something to you. Very, very, very important. The satanic system of wickedness and evil right now fills and controls this earth. There is a satanic policy of evil that fills this earth. And in your handout it says the Bible refers to this as the world. Okay? He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let me give you another example. Look in your handout at 2 Corinthians 4:4. Look what it says. In whom the God of, what's the next two words? This world. Now, who do you think, it's a little g, who do you think the God of this world would be? Satan. That's right. Satan is entitled here the God of this world. Notice, what's he doing today? What's Satan up to? Look at it. He has blinded the minds of them which believe not. So if somebody has not put their faith and trust in Christ, it's because Satan, the God of this world system that he's put in place, he is blinding the mind. Satan has put a world system on this earth, a satanic policy of evil that is blinding, it's seeking to blind people from the truth of the gospel. Let's look at the rest of the verse, okay? It says he's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The satanic policy of evil. Listen, Satan has a kingdom. Satan has a government established on this earth right now in which he is the leader. The satanic policy of evil is rampant on this earth. It began in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve took that fatal step from innocence to sin. And Satan's world system of rebellion against God was put in place, and it continues to this day. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 6:12, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 5:19, he says, as we know, he says, we know that we are of God. And he said, the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now in your handout, it says this satanic world system, okay, that's present on this earth right now. It is racing towards judgment and condemnation. In 1 John 2, he said, the world passeth away. 2 Peter 3:10, the Apostle Peter, he said that the earth and the works therein are going to melt with a fervent heat and they're going to be burned up. So this world system, this satanic world system that's in place on this sin-cursed earth right now, okay? Satan's the God of this world. He's got a government established on this earth. Okay? It's an unseen... The government he's got in place is well organized. There's principalities and powers and rulers and all these things. He's got a well organized machine running on this earth right now. Okay? And he is the God of this world. This world system on this earth is racing 100 miles per hour towards judgment and towards God's wrath and God's condemnation. Now here's the thing. You and I were once part of this world system. We were walking hand in hand with it. Our identity was found in... Do you know what the world... You know what the Bible says? Okay, look, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world... He says the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You take any sin, name any sin to me, any sin you can name me, and it'll fall in one of those three categories. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He said it's not of God, it's of this world. And the world passeth away. You see, our identity was once found in this world system. Our identity was found, listen to me, it was found in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And in your handout, it says that the spirit of Satan's world system was working where? Look in your handout. Where was the spirit of Satan's world system working? Somebody tell me. In us. In us. Our identity was what? Of this world. I'll prove it to you. Look at the verse at the bottom of your handout, Ephesians 2:2. He's writing to believers. And he's going to talk about their past life before they knew the Lord. And he says, wherein in time past, you walked according... Notice, how are they walking before they were saved? According to the what? Course of this world. You see that, church? See there? Look at this. According to the prince of the power of the air. Who do you think is the prince of the power of the air? That's right, Satan. And then look at the rest of the verse. The spirit, that satanic worldly spirit, it now worketh in the children of disobedience. Question, How many of us in here had that spirit of the world and Satan working in us at one time? How many of us? All of us. If you're not saved, it's still working in you. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior and you're on the treadmill of religious performance, and listen, that spirit of the world is still working in you. See, until we know Christ, the spirit of the world is working in us, the spirit of Satan. But now hear me, the moment you trusted Christ to save you, the moment that you quit trusting religion, you quit trusting your works, you quit trusting your righteousness, you quit trusting your goodness, and you turned in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you asked Him to save you, God changed all of that. And in your handout, it says, God's Spirit placed us into Christ and delivered us from this world system. Woo! Folks, I know you're writing, but that's something to shout about. Buddy, that's better than homemade biscuits with jelly on it, amen? Man alive, that's good stuff. He's delivered me from the satanic world system that was racing towards judgment, condemnation, and wrath. He delivered me from that, and I'm not part of that anymore. Look at the verse on the screen, Galatians 1:4. The who is Christ? Christ gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from what? This present evil world. He has delivered me from this world system of Satan's, and He's delivered me from the wrath of God that's going to come on this world system. And listen, because I am crucified with Christ, that means I am dead to Satan's world system, and it's dead to me. Listen, we were all born into this satanic world system, and the only way out of this satanic, corrupted, condemned world system was death. The only way out of it was death, and God accomplished that by placing us in His Son. Now, while I physically have to live in this world, I'm spiritually dead to it. I'm no longer part of it because a separation has occurred. Look at the verse on the screen, Galatians 6:14. Paul said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom," notice, "by the cross work of Christ, through your faith in the cross work of Christ," notice, "by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." Listen, my friend, I am dead and I am buried with Christ. I am forever dead to this condemned, evil, wicked, satanic world system. Praise God, we've been delivered from that through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a finished work. The moment you put your faith in Christ, that's true of you. God, through the spiritual operation, Colossians 2 says of God, you're placed in Christ. That means you are dead and you are buried with Him. And that's what Colossians 3:3 means when it says, "For ye are dead." It means you're in Christ now. You're crucified with Him. You're dead and buried with Him. Now, let me give you the next thing in your handout. Christ has provided for us. Not only has He delivered us from the past identity, but He's provided for us a new position. This is why my heart ought to be set on Him. Man, He's in His grace given me a new position. Listen, we were crucified and buried with Christ. Okay, now listen. If you're saved today, you are crucified and buried with Christ. Do y'all got that? Say amen. Okay, crucified, buried with Him. That means that ends any identity with this satanic world system that you once had. You're dead. It has no hold over you anymore. The only way out of it was death. You're dead and buried with Him. That ends any association with this satanic world system. But wait a minute, it gets better. Look at Colossians 3:3 again. He says, "For ye are dead," then He turns right around and says, "and you're what?" That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible right there. Unless you know the Lord, that doesn't make a lick of sense, does it? You say, "I'm saved," and I still don't get it. He said, "You're dead," then He turns right around and says, "and your life." Wait a minute, you just told me I was dead. You just told me I'm dead, and now you say, "your life?" That doesn't make sense. Well, unless you know your Bible, unless you understand what God has done for you in Christ, that verse doesn't make a lick of sense. You just scratch your head and say, "I don't get that." He says, "you're dead," He tells these believers. Why? because they're crucified with Christ, buried with Christ. But wait a minute, hold on. If God placed me in His Son and Christ died to put away sin, wait a minute, He died, I'm dead with Him, buried with Him, but what did He do 3 days later? Somebody tell me, what did He do? He rose again. So guess what? If I'm dead with Him and I'm buried with Him, then I am what with Him? I'm risen. I'm alive. See? I'm risen with Him. Look at Colossians 3:1. What does the very first phrase say? Everybody read it to yourself. Just kind of read it silently. And what does the very first phrase say? All right, let's say it together. If ye then be risen with Christ. Woo-hoo-hoo! So I'm dead with Him. I'm buried with Him. He's cut off my past identity. I'm dead and buried with Him. Past identity with this world system, gone. But it gets better. He says, not only are you dead and buried with Him, He said in Colossians 3:1, you're also what? You're risen with Him. He has given to you resurrection life. He has imparted unto you the life of His Son. Listen, we're dead to this world system, but yet we have life. What life do we have? Galatians 2:20 again. I am crucified with Christ. Paul said, nevertheless I live. What? You're crucified, but nevertheless I live. Well, then he explains it. He says, yet not I. Remember, I'm dead and buried. He said, no, you see, I'm dead and I'm buried. I'm crucified. He said, but I'm alive. He said, you know why? Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. I am dead with Him, buried with Him, but praise the Lord, spiritually in Christ, I have been made alive in Him. Not only have I been delivered from my past identity, man, I got a new position. The Spirit in your handout, it says the spirit of this world was operative in us before salvation. But now the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is alive in us. I got a new spirit working in me. I get excited when I teach this stuff. I do, man. I love it. Look at a verse. Look in your handout. This is one of my favorite verses. To me, this really sums it up. Here it is. You ready? He's writing to Christians. 1 Corinthians 2:12. He says, now we have received. Now, right now. Not we're going to get it. We've already got it. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. According to that verse in black and white, what spirit once worked in you? The spirit of the world. But according to that verse, according to God's Word, what spirit works in you now if you're saved? The Spirit of God. The Bible says, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. By virtue of your death with Christ, you are delivered from Satan's worldly kingdom down here. But by virtue of your resurrection with Christ, you've been resurrected into a new kingdom. I'm delivered from Satan's kingdom of darkness, but now, wait a minute, He has taken me and put me in a new kingdom. Look back at Colossians chapter 1. Okay, flip back there. Colossians chapter 1. And look at a great verse, verse 13. This is an awesome verse. Y'all to underline this one. He says that the who there is God. Verse 13, God the Father, He has delivered us, here it is again, He's delivered us from the power of darkness. That matches Galatians 1:4. He's delivered me from this present evil world. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. But now wait a minute, it gets better. He didn't just leave me there in limbo. He says He delivered me from the power of darkness, but hath translated. It's already a done deal. He's already done it. He has translated us into the kingdom of who? His dear Son. Now, in fact, guess what Ephesians 2:6 teaches? Ephesians 2:6 teaches you're already seated there. Listen, it says that He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means, now listen, that means that my detachment from this world system is so real and it is so effectual, God says, I'm already seated in Christ's heavenly kingdom. Amen. Come here, Brother Rob. Brother Rob is not Brother Rob. He's just Rob because he's a lost sinner. He's out here in the world. And you guys represent this world system. And he's out here. You're walking lockstep in the world system, aren't you, buddy? I mean, you're just going along. The spirit of the world is working in you. The spirit of Satan is alive in you. But somebody confronts you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they let Brother Rob know, he's not brother yet. They let Rob know that he is a sinner and that Jesus Christ died for his sins on the cross. And that if he will put his faith and his trust in Jesus Christ, that God will save him right now. Brother Rob makes that decision. Now he's Brother Rob. Come here, Brother Rob. Brother Rob now has been delivered from this world system. He's no longer with you. He's no longer part of that world system. Okay? Now, he is dead and buried to that. He's dead to that, crucified with Christ. The moment he got saved, that ended his association and his involvement in that world system. But now listen, wait a minute. Hold on. Not only is he dead to this world system, but the Bible teaches he is risen with Christ. But now, wait a minute. Not only is he risen with Christ, Christ rose from the dead 3 days later, but what did he do 40 days after he rose from the dead? Anybody tell me? 40 days later, what did he do? He ascended in heavenly places, Ephesians 1 says. So remember, he's in him. Well, it just makes sense then, doesn't it? If he's dead with him, buried with him, ending any involvement with this world system, okay? And if he's dead with him, buried with him, risen with him, then it only makes sense then, Ephesians 2:6 says, he's raised him up and he's made him sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you see what God's done? By the way, he also changed his the name that identifies him. Before, when he was out there in the world system, he was known as what? What would be the word to describe him? Sinner. That would be the title, sinner. But wait a minute. He's not a part of that satanic world system anymore. So now no longer does he hold that title, sinner. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. And I want you all to look at that verse, read it to yourself. Read that verse to yourself. And I want you to try to figure out what his new title is. Don't say it yet. Okay? No longer is his title sinner. But what does the Bible say? Now, you ready? On the count of three, what's the new title? One, two, three. Saint. There you go. He is now, 1 Corinthians 1, 2, says that he has been sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be a saint. That's Saint Rob right there. Amen? Amen. Thanks, Saint Rob. You can be seated. Good job. I want to give you two quick statements in your handout. You ready? Number one, through Christ's atoning death. Write that in. Through his death, the sin issue was dealt with in your life, and you were forgiven, and you were cleansed, and you died to this world system, to Satan's kingdom. The moment you got saved, based on Christ's death, that sin issue was forever dealt with in your life because of Christ's finished work. Now, but look at the next statement. Through his resurrection, God has placed his life in you, and he has raised you up to dwell in a new heavenly kingdom, Christ's kingdom. Let me let you in on something, folks. Christ did not just save you to keep you out of hell. Now, I'll take that, won't you? I mean, that's pretty good, wouldn't you say? The fact that I don't have to incur the wrath of God in hell forever, would you say that's a blessing? Yeah, but did you know that wasn't the end-all purpose for saving you? God saved you and he forgave you and he cleansed you, but then you know what he did? He put his life in you. And he translated you into the heavenly kingdom of Jesus Christ. Number three, our heart should be set on Christ because, number three, Christ has ensured for us a glorious future. Go back to Colossians 3, please. Colossians chapter 3. We are physically I want to make sure I make this clear now. So think with me now and please concentrate here in the last few minutes. I am delivered, the Bible says, and I've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom, the heavenly kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now, am I physically still in Satan's kingdom, though? Yeah, I am physically still in Satan's world system. But am I a part of it? No. We are the proverbial duck out of water. You say, why would God do that to us? Why would God save us out of this world system, satanic world system, and then leave us in it physically? Why would God do that to us? Think about it. If God immediately took every believer out the moment they trusted Christ and He physically took you to heaven, who would be left to tell other people how to get out of Satan's kingdom of darkness? Who'd be left to impact other people? Who would be left, as Paul said, to turn people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified in Christ? Who would be left if He took us out? But one day it's all going to be over, and Christ shall appear. Colossians 3:4. Look at it with me. When Christ, who is our life, I like that, shall appear. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. One day, when I'm not going to spend a lot of time because we spent 3 weeks on Titus 2:13 this year about looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Spent 3 Sunday mornings on that. So I'm not going to belabor the point, but I do want you to understand something. One day, you won't have an opportunity to witness anymore. You won't have an opportunity to share Christ with anybody anymore. You won't have an opportunity to pray for a lost soul anymore. One day, Christ is going to appear. When He appears for the body of Christ, the church, what's going to happen to us? Look at the verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear. What's the next two words? With Him. Doesn't that make sense? If I'm dead with Him, and I'm buried with Him, and I'm risen with Him, then it only makes sense that when He appears, I'm going to appear with Him in glory. We are literally going to share in the glorification of Jesus Christ in eternity. Look at the verse, Romans 8:18. If we could bring it up, please. Romans 8:18. Paul said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed," where? In us. We are going to reveal the grace and the glory of Jesus Christ in the ages to come as we radiate His glory and we carry on the business of heaven. The Bible says that in the ages to come, He's going to show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, here's the obvious question I want to kind of bring this thing down to. I want to ask you a very obvious question. If Christ has, if we can go back to those 3 points again, could you go back one screen? If Christ has delivered me from the Satan's kingdom of darkness, He's delivered me from my past identity when the spirit of the world worked in me. If Christ has provided me a new position, I'm risen with Him. I've been translated into the heavenly kingdom of Jesus Christ. If Christ has ensured for me a glorious future when He appears, then the obvious question is, why would my affection be for Satan's world system? When a Christian loves the world, wants to be like the world, wants to live like the world is his home, wants to dress like the world and live like the world and talk like the world, wants to be like the world, just loves the world, you know what? That's the ultimate contradiction. Because what has Satan and his world system done for you? All Satan's world system did for you was make you ripe for God's judgment. Make you ripe for the wrath of God. All Satan's world system did was blind you to where you were ready to be damned and condemned eternally. Had you in bondage, but then Christ came along and set you free. And now your handout says, we are not part of this kingdom on this earth. We're not part of it. And when you live for the things of the world, you're living for a kingdom that you no longer belong to. Our inheritance lies in the heavenly kingdom of Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. Our inheritance lies in the heavenly kingdom of Jesus Christ. Why would you want to invest your life in a kingdom where you have no future? I mean, a couple weeks ago I was preaching up in Jacksonville, and it was a Monday, Tuesday type thing, and I was preaching there, and Denise and I were in a motel, and what if she would have come into the motel room and said, you know, I think this room really has potential. Dan, take that picture off the wall. I tell you what, that bedspread's got to go. We've got to take me to the mall. I want to get a new bedspread, new picture. That chair's got to go. Let's get a new chair. What do you think I'd do? I'd see if she had a fever, amen? You say, you wouldn't do that. Why would you invest money in a motel room that's not yours? Why would you live your life for that? That doesn't make any sense. That's just temporary. Why would our heart be on the things of this world? Why would we live our life like we're going to be here forever? You're not. You're not going to be here forever. This world's not our home. As the old song says, we're just passing through. Our treasure, how's the song go? Our treasure is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen, but Miss Lily. You know what Satan wants to do, though? He wants to get you all confused about that thing. And in your handout, it says Satan wants to capture your heart, your affection, with the pleasures that his worldly kingdom can offer you. But you know what God says? Look in your Bible again. Here's what God lovingly calls out to you. Colossians 3:1. Go back to Colossians 3:1. Here's what God says to you. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where, church? Above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. God says, I want your heart. God says, if you know what? If God gets my heart, then nothing else is a problem. If God has my heart, He's got everything else. Set your affection on things where? Above. Not on things on the earth. Will you make a decision today that your number one desire will be to set your affection on Christ? If you do that, you can get through, you can handle anything else in life if you do that. But listen to me. If you don't set your heart and affection on Christ, nothing else in your life matters. Now, please hear me. You can preach, you can teach the Bible, you can teach the Bible every Sunday. You can be like me. You can get up and preach to other people every Sunday. You can teach a life group. You can be a deacon. You can be a Sunday school teacher. You can work in Awana. You can work and walk through Bethlehem. You can give money to the church. You can do all these things. But if God doesn't have your heart, nothing else really matters. Amen. Where is your heart? God has... Bring up those 3 points and we're done. Bring them up, please, on the screen. What has God done for us, church? What did we say? He's delivered us from our what? Past identity. Not only that, in His grace, He did this all up front the moment I got saved. He provided for me a what? I got a new position in His kingdom now. And then number 3, He's insured for me a glorious what? Future. So, that's where my future is. Not here. So why would I want to live like this is my future when that's my future? Does that make sense? Where is your heart? Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I really want you to think about this, okay? I want the Word of God to change your life. Did you know if the Bible is going to change your life, do you know what it's got to do first? It's got to change your thinking. Do you know how we're renewed? Do you know how we live a transformed, changed life? By the renewing of your mind. This has to get inside of you, what I preached this morning. You can understand this academically, but you've got to get it in your heart, what God's done for you in Christ. And once you get it in your heart, it'll change your life. It'll change and transform the way you look at every decision you make. If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, why don't you make a decision for Christ today? Are you on the religious treadmill of performance? Some religious system got you running on a treadmill? Listen, get off. Get off. Hop off of that, baby. Listen, the true gospel is Christ died for your sins, was buried, rose from the dead, and His completed and finished work is enough to save you. And if anyone's dangling a carrot in front of you, so to speak, that's a religious system you need to get out of. And you need to understand, Christ has done everything. He's made a full provision for your sin problem. If you'll acknowledge it, understand it, realize you have a sin problem, and if you'll call on Christ to save you, just with all your heart, just trust Him right now. Right now. Let God know, I'm trusting Jesus to save me right now. I'm trusting Christ. Let God know that right now. Let God look down from heaven and find your heart fully trusting in His Son. Let's have a little time of silence here. And if you want to, with your heart, trust Christ, you can do that right now. Just let God know that's what you're doing. Christian, has God spoken to your heart today? Where is your affection? Is your affection for your job? Is your affection for your house, your car, your bank accounts? Where's your affection? Where's your heart? God wants you to set your heart on Him. He wants your total heart to be on Christ. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, how convicting and how enlightening it is. Lord, this morning, may God, we have learned the Word, but then more importantly than learning, may we have got it in us so that it can change us from the inside out. May Your Word change the way we think, which in turn changes the way we act. Lord, I pray now, Father, that Your Word will dwell in us richly today. We'll all leave here different than when we came in. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand to our feet as we just have Miss Joe's play.